This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to the regular Monday get-together we call Washtenaw United. Through a partnership with United Way of Washtenaw County, WEMU is dedicated to exploring issues of equity and opportunity in our community. In that quest, one of the issues we're forced to deal with is discrimination. It comes in a variety of forms, and today we're going to view it through the lens of housing discrimination. I'm David Fair, and my guest today is Pam Kish. Pam is Executive Director of the Fair Housing Center of Southeast and Mid-Michigan, and thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
How prevalent is housing discrimination in our region?
We're no different than any other part of the United States. HUD does a study every 10 years, and it turns out that if African Americans are looking for housing, about 50% of the time they are treated less favorably than a white counterpart.
Is race at the center of what we're talking about in this endeavor of fair housing?
In our office, the most common complaints we get are discrimination based on race, disability, and families with children.
I'm always curious to find out what it is that drives someone into the chosen field in which they work. And I'm curious, you were founder of the Fair Housing Center of what was called Washtenaw County back in 1992. What led you into this realm to seek out social justice for those who were not getting it?
I've always been interested in issues of race, anti-racism, women's issues. I worked with Ozone House. I was an advocate for runaway and homeless teenagers for many years. I worked on issues of violence against women, worked in an anti-racism organization when I was a student at the University of Michigan. I think these interests led me to want to be an advocate, and I think if you understand the United States, you understand that race is really the core issue of our history, and so that led me to particularly an interest in race discrimination, and I had the opportunity to work on a fair housing project, and that led me to bring people together in Washtenaw County and to try to start an organization here.
And you did in 1992, 27 years later. Have we addressed the issues as much as you would have liked, or are we actually about in the same place 2.5 decades later?
There certainly have been some changes. There are certain kinds of discrimination against families with children that we just don't see anymore. We've had enough litigation through our office that word has gotten around that if you deny housing to families with children in Washtenaw County, you're going to be investigated, you're going to be sued, it's going to be expensive. We're doing better now on disability issues. The main issue with disability is what we'd call a reasonable accommodation. Someone who needs a reserved parking spot in a building that doesn't provide parking spaces. With race discrimination, we're getting less evidence. When we send in a black tester and a white tester to the same property asking for the same kind of housing, we're seeing less overt evidence of discrimination based on race. I'm
now,
not sure that it means there's less race.
I was going to say, are Lee Soar's just getting better at obfuscating what is at the center?
That is definitely a possibility, that the discrimination is happening deeper into the process and it's more difficult for us to ferret out.
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with the Executive Director of the Fair Housing Center of Southeast and Mid-Michigan, Pam Kish, and we've talked about how race is still an issue in housing, how disability can be. What are some of the more subtle forms of housing discrimination that maybe don't come to the front of mind?
Almost all housing discrimination is subtle. Almost all housing discrimination comes with a smile and a handshake. We very rarely see overt discrimination. This is very common. African-American woman sees an ad on Craigslist. She texts back and forth with the owner. Everything seems fine, makes an appointment, goes to see the apartment. The minute she gets there and sees see her in person, they say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I just rented the last apartment. I just got off the phone. I'm sorry. I'd be so happy to rent to you, but I'll call you when something comes up." So it's nothing overt. It's very friendly, but the complainant says, "You know, that just doesn't sound right. I look the next day and the ad is still running. I'm going to call the Fair Housing Center and just let them look into it."
And when you take that phone call, what do you do then?
We find out, you know, what the landlord knew about her. Say she was married. She had one child. She wanted to move in on December 1st. We find out where she worked, what kind of income she has, what kind of job experience. And then we'd set up a test. We'd send in a black tester and a white tester. And everything about them would be just about the same. Both be married, both with one child, both looking to move around December 1st. But everything on paper about the black tester would be better. All things being equal, the landlord or the agent would prefer the black tester as a tenant. So if we see differences in treatment that favor the white tester, that's evidence of discrimination based on race.
So then is it automatic litigation, or you go to the renter and say, do you want to settle and fix this problem?
We go to the person who came to us who's been discriminated against, and we ask them, what would you like to do? Would you like us to conciliate, which is a fancy word for Pam Kish?
Right.
Well, Pam calls up the landlord and says, you might want to call your lawyer. We have strong evidence of discrimination based on race. Would you like to work something out before this person takes action in court or with a state or federal agency? That almost never works. The other possibility is we help people file a complaint with the Michigan Department of Civil Rights or the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and we fill out the paperwork for them, and we walk them through the whole process, and we remain as an advocate for them. And that's more of a mediation process.
And one of the things, as a father of two daughters, I get concerned about is sending them anywhere alone and without any form of protections or witnesses. So is sexual harassment something we're seeing in this housing process?
Yes, we've done a couple of high-profile sexual harassment cases. Typically what happens is a woman will call us and say, I've been living here for a long time. My landlord, for instance, asks me out. He comes in all hours of the day and night without warning. I was in the shower. He used his key and I got out of the shower and he was in my living room. He's made comments about what I look like, and I've told him I'm not interested. You know, what can I do? And what we know is that these are not usually just a one-time incident, that if we go back and look at who else has this landlord rented to, what other properties do they own, we will often
find other victims.
Absolutely. It's a pattern, and they won't stop until someone comes forward and reports them.
It really does take changes in collective attitudes and practices and our willingness to demand something better as a whole, right? That's where your advocacy of individual pledges of support for WIMBY comes in.
Many, many years ago, there was a terrible situation where a cross was burned on the front lawn of an African-American family's home. And some people contacted us and said, we want to do some kind of action in support of this family, and we came up with WIMBY, Welcome in My Backyard.
Which is completely counter to Not in My Backyard.
Not in My Backyard. Right. So we made up some window posters, and we put together a pledge, and we went door to door in the neighborhoods near where this had happened, and we got people to put WIMBY signs in their windows and sign a pledge that all people are welcome in their neighborhood. And so now we have a local artist made us a beautiful logo, and we have yard signs and
stickers,
and there's a video.
And
yeah, so anybody who's interested can go to our website.
And is that part of the solution for the future? Welcome in My Backyard.
Yeah, that's part of the solution.
What are the other components?
Don't discriminate. If you hear, one of the things that is really clear to me is that, I'm white, and people will say things to me, people say racist things to me, assuming that I agree with them. So,
are they doing it? Is it an implicit bias that they're expressing, or is this just overt outward racism?
When I've been a tester many times, and I've heard landlords say all kinds of things, and I think that there are white real estate agents and white rental agents who hear these kinds of things or are asked to discriminate. And some of my heroes are the ones who step forward and call us and say, look, we had a young woman, 24 years old, called us on her first day of work to tell us that her boss told her to discriminate against families with children. And she called us and said, I know that's wrong. I told him I'd been to fair housing training. And he said, well, that's the way we've always done it. They know that their colleagues are not doing the right thing. They know their colleagues are steering African Americans into certain neighborhoods. And I would ask them to step forward. If you know about discrimination and you're not saying anything,
you're contributing
to the problem. Yeah.
Stand up and speak out.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for your time today, Pam Kish. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Pam Kish, Executive Director of the Fair Housing Center of Southeast and Mid-Michigan, and our guest on Washtenaw United. Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, and it's heard every Monday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.